Do you care? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Do you care? Do you really care about whatever is going on in your life? Do you really care? Do you care about the people in your life? Do you care about the animals in your life? Do you care about your residence, your house, your garden, your whatever in your life? Do you care about your job? Do you care about your world? Do you care about your relatives? Do you care? Do you care about yourself? Do you care about yourself? Now, think about it. Do you care? And if you care, you're in trouble. Because if you care, it means that you think there's something to be improved. You think there's something to be made better, including in yourself. And if you can train yourself to recognize that all is in divine order now, all is complete now, all is fulfilled now, then there's nothing to care about. Well, I've got to care about my kids, I've got to care about my family, I've got to care about my job, I've got to care about myself, I've got to care about my world. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know? You know, this is such a big case for most of us. We all think we are indispensable. Mm-hmm. We all think that if we dropped dead today, the world would miss us terribly. The world wouldn't really care one way or the other if we did. Even our most devoted family, they wouldn't care. They'd just say, well, she decided to go, he decided to go, and they're gone. So now we're going to go on. Why is it that people don't like missing persons? Because they're not dead. You see, if you're dead, then it's final. Now we can go on and do whatever we want to do. Find somebody new. Find a new relationship, a new life. But if they're missing in action in a war or a missing person, then for 7 years, you're responsible to any relationship that you chose to have at the time they were missing. And that's just the legal ramifications of it. Now, if you're a parent, you're still responsible for them until they're found. And if they're never found, well then, of course, mentally you'll always be responsible in your heart. Now, why do we create ourselves indispensable? I didn't say why do we create ourselves missing, but why do we create ourselves indispensable? We create ourselves indispensable because we don't like ourselves. If we liked ourselves, we would enjoy being in our own company. As I tell the story about my son, my wife spent some time in the hospital as he was growing up, and so I was at work and he was at home alone and doing his thing. And so I said, Mark, you're home alone now. Make your time count. Like yourself. Do everything that makes you happy. Oh! You know, I said, do everything that makes you happy. Do everything that... Learn to enjoy your own company. To be with yourself. Not just to be crowded by your friends all the time who come over and want attention too. But just to be by yourself. So, it wasn't a short time. And he gained that gift very powerfully and very well. Because he'd been working on it even before. And when he's alone, he's building his planes. He's in his own world. He's in his own dimension. He's doing just beautifully. When he reads his books or magazines, he's in his own dimension. When his friends come over, he'll give them a project to do so he can do his project and not pay any attention to them so that he can remain in his own dimension. Now, that's a great deal something to learn for each one of us. Because all of us feel we're indispensable. Now, I always told him to have respect for himself and respect for everybody in his world because he created them. And he says, I know that, Dad, I know that. And so he went on and he is a very respectful boy, a man, a very respectful person, a person that everyone enjoys meeting and knowing. Now, everyone doesn't enjoy meeting and knowing my son, Mark, because he's my son. they don't enjoy meeting and knowing my son Mark because he's my son Mark or because he's Mark. They enjoy meeting him for this reason. He likes himself. He respects himself, and he doesn't expect anyone else in the world to like or respect him. He just likes and respects himself. Now, you see, if you really like yourself, you don't need anybody else to like you. And then, if you really like yourself, then you no longer feel in any way indispensable, that you cannot, the world would miss you if you were gone. You don't think about that. All you think about is, hey, I enjoy my own company. I enjoy my own thoughts. I enjoy sitting at the ocean and just looking at the waves. You know, people do that. I enjoy watching the light as it dances through the leaves in the forest coming down from on high. And it's a tall forest, and then the leaves are causing the light to shift patterns here and there. And some on a very brilliant day, especially when it's cold, it is so beautiful. When you go into the north woods here, or you go into the sequoias, tall, tall pine-type tree. And then as you walk through, a beam of sunlight will come straight down, zoom, through the darkness, because it found its way between the leaves or between the branches, and boom, it hits the earth. And it's almost like an explosion. You say, wow, how beautiful. And you're in a special world of your own amazement and enjoyment. You like yourself. You enjoy yourself. Now, can you sit there? Just stop right where you are and sit there and say, hey, this is theater for me. I created this theater for me. Now, let's see. Well, I wonder when another one's going to come down. Or, you know, where is the next one going to come out of? And then all of a sudden, they start dancing across the ground because you're there. You've created it. You created it dancing around. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. When we go to the Sequoia or the Yosemite National Park, we take our tent and sleeping bags and we go up there, and I always like to get up early. And of course, this is not the getting up early part, because the sun is already up, and it's already daytime. It's already daylight, and the sun is already shining through those trees from above them. So it's up in the sky. So maybe it's really 9 o'clock, but nobody is out. Everybody's asleep in their tent. Everybody's holidaying it, vacationing it. And then I'm walking through the forest as the lights of the sun is dancing down through the pine needles. And it is so glorious to see, so beautiful. Now, as I look at him, I think to myself, my goodness, this is a beautiful creation. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I think to myself, I'm just so happy to be me. Gee, if I weren't here, who would see this? I don't care. I'm here and I see it. That's all that matters. Now, I pick up a stick and I carry it. Or I have a fire in the fire pot, in the fireplace where your loud fires. And then I burn this stick and I hold on to it. And then it's nighttime. It's dark and dark and dark under those trees. There's no moonlight coming through, no anything, no light of any kind. So then you take your stick, which you have a glowing end on it, and you take the stick and you do like this through the sky and through the air around you, and you can write, and then you take a photograph of it as you do that, and it seems as though the photograph is getting all sorts of movement that you wouldn't realize you're making if you were, you know, just taking an ordinary still photograph in daylight. But it's so glorious, so beautiful. But this is learning and enjoying to be by yourself, to be with your own company, to be at peace. Now I say to Ellen, Ellen, don't you want other people in the embassy? They, you know, have those rooms, we can put other people. No. I said, why not? She said, well, I like to be alone. You like to be alone? Don't you realize that's being lonely? Don't you realize that's being shut out by everybody? Nobody cares about you at all. Nobody comes down to visit you. Nobody comes and does anything. She said, Herb, let me tell you something. That's what she says to me. Herb, let me tell you something. She says, when I want people here, I create them here. When I don't want people here, I don't create them here. She says, if I want people to come visit me, they'll come. And if I don't want them, they won't. And if I create people, and I think I'm going to have to have them live in my house here, you know, in the embassy, and I don't really want that. They will say they'd rather live in the oasis, or they'd rather live somewhere else. Not that they don't want to live in the embassy. When I have created them wanting to be somewhere else, but I didn't say I want you to be somewhere else. I created myself being alone, she says. And whatever it takes, all is
in divine order.
All is in divine order. Whatever it takes to accomplish that. She doesn't care. She doesn't know. She has no idea. But you see, as soon as she starts taking care of herself, as soon as she starts doing things, she will be very happy. Now, I told Ellen I bought some manuka. Say the name, please.
Manuka honey.
Thank you. Manuka honey. And this is a very healing, it's a wound honey. You put it on wounds, and the honey helps the wound heal, so there's no scar or anything else like that. Plus, it has been known to heal many, many other things, like cancer and everything else under the sun. But it's a very sticky thing to use. And when you're using it, if you use it on your face at all, you don't go around kissing other people, because you'll transfer your honey to them. There's nothing wrong with it. It won't hurt anybody, but you'll transfer your honey to them. And if you put it on your lip and you kiss people, then you get a honey kiss. But it's external. It's designed for external use. And it is working just beautifully. But you see, you have to think of all those things. You see movies, and in the movies the woman is awakened in the middle of the night, and she gets up, she goes to the door, her hair is all up in curlers, you know, she got all sorts of, you know, things in there, and her face has a mud plaster on it, and she does all these things because she does this at night so that it can work while she's sleeping instead of taking time while she's awake. But she goes to the door, and whoever's there, she surely scares away. But she's doing it for herself, and she doesn't care. She doesn't care one little bit. All she cares about is that she thinks she looks good. She thinks she's fantastic. You see, when you learn to like yourself, you learn to live like Mark lived, by himself, and not feel lonely or not feel abandoned in any way. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And to this day, Mark could feel, you know, abandoned, but he doesn't. He said, "Dad, growing up with you was one of the greatest experiences that anyone could ever have. You know, because all of my friends, they wish they could have had the experiences that I had, you know, and things that we did, and the places that you took me, and all the stuff that we did. But, you see, when I wasn't there, he had plenty of memories to enjoy. When I was there, he had plenty of action to enjoy, because I live and lead a very active life, no matter where I am, no matter what I do. I like to be on the move. I like to walk up and down hotels in the staircase instead of on the elevator whenever possible, you know. 13 floors, I object to that. 3 or 4 floors, okay, you know, but 13's a little much. And this is what it's all about. But if you like yourself, then there's nothing to care for. There's nothing to care for in your world except just to like yourself, be yourself, and have fun, and enjoy who you are, and do it under all circumstances. I see each one of you liking yourself very much, loving yourself very much, and being yourself very much. And I see each of your lives right this minute and forevermore in divine order.
Amen.
I see each one of you right now, forevermore, with your lives in divine order. So say that for yourself and enjoy it. And let it happen, and know that it's pretty exciting. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.